Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene.
This is Colbert the Alchemist.
This is Brian.
Hey, so this week's episode, we talk about insurance. We talked about legacy.
Finance, we talk about legacy. We talk about our culture. We talk about a lot of stuff that you would see on the podcast.
So look, tune in right now.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspire podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire. I am your host, Gene Alert.
And your new co-host, Colbert the Alchemist.
Let's go. That sounds good, man. And so today we have a very special guest, an insurance specialist, right? A financial specialist. Right? His name is Brian Alexis, right? So welcome onto the show. Welcome to Faith Grind Inspire.
Welcome, my brother.
Thank you, gentlemen. And it's just such an inspiration. Well, I've been saying a few seconds ago that I've sat here and listened to you guys speak on so many levels, spiritually and all the different levels. And it's difficult. It has been difficult to hold myself back. So guys, bear with me if you find I'm bubbling over with information. Please bear with me. But one of the things that that really, really resonate with me in terms of my invitation to the show is making sure that we understand that even if we speak about these financial things and these material things, it's critical and important to have that connection and a relationship with whoever you see your supreme being to be, whether it's God, as they mentioned before. Amen. You would have saw the previous show, so I don't have to go back through those things again, but it's really, really critical. And in essence, I'm saying without that connection, what I'm saying here, it's just useless. It's so perfect. If you didn't get that information, then you really missed out on what I'm going to continue speaking about here today. But guy, let me just say thank you for the opportunity. I'm honored to be a part of a show with you guys. You guys are inspiring. Mm-hmm. I mean, you spoke on certain levels that I really wish we could find some way to incorporate some of those things into what I would be talking about today. So I look forward to that. And Gene, thank you for the invitation. And let me just say, God bless you guys out there. Thank you. Thank you for that invitation.
Yes. Thank you, man. That's great.
It's incredible.
And we're going to talk about alignment. We're going to make sure that there's a lot of alignment.
Yeah, we'll tie in all of it. We'll bring the alchemy. It's very important. So we got the spiritual in that past episode. We're going to take care of the financial material in this episode. But we're still going to be able to, they go hand in hand.
Absolutely, yes. They do. Because, in recent times, I had a little encounter with my mother. Mm. And she called me with a little incident. And I was, you know, kind of trying to calm her down and let her know that listen to me, you see the challenges we face in this life. If you try to take them on yourself and not put God first to handle some of these things for you, you're really not saying. And one of the main problem we have in this world is we trying to make things happen. We just actors in that show. It's God's show. We just actors. And if you just put God first with even some of the things we're going to speak about moving forward, if you put God first, whoever your God is, if you put him first, half, three-quarter of your job is done.
Wow. 100%. 100%. That's a fact. That's a fact.
So, as we deep right in.
Go ahead. Tell the people where you're from.
Okay. So my name is Brian Alexis, as initially said. Yeah. I actually work with New York Life as a financial advisor. So some of the things, in essence, what we do... college planning for kids, we do life insurance, we do retirement planning, and everything fall under those main topics. So those are some of the things we'll be speaking about today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm from Grenada originally. Mm. I've been in this country, I would say, about 30 years. I have 4 sons. Well, you wouldn't guess, but I have 2 29-year-olds, I have a 14-year-old, and I have an 11-year-old. Wow. Prior to working with New York Life, I worked with the Department of Education. I worked at Brooklyn High School of the Arts as a teacher. And at the same time, I was an adjunct at Boricua College teaching principles of accounting. So those are my background. And you would find one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting is that I pursued an MBA in finance. And on completion of my MBA, some of the information we're going to discuss today still was not clear to me. Still, I didn't understand this information. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to find, it's not taught in high schools, it's not taught in colleges, it's something that you have to actually be exposed to the information by individual or somebody in the industry mm-hmm. to actually understand some of the things we're going to speak about today, which is unfortunate. These are information that is so important to me. They should be part of a school curriculum. They should be somewhere along the line. You should be learning some of those things.
That's true. That's true.
Like what?
So let's start with retirement planning. Mm-hmm. What do we know about retirement planning? At what age should you be starting? Because there's a misconception that people think that they should be starting somewhere around the 30s. You should be starting to plan your retirement somewhere in your 25s. We don't get that. The different types of insurance. College planning for kids. We're going to get into the specific. But just the general financial education, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of misconceptions with it in terms of when we should start, what we should be putting away, and those kind of stuff. So we're going to get into the specifics.
That's true.
When we get there.
I realize that, you know, growing up, that they don't really give us, even just understanding credit. A lot of people don't even know how to write a check. I don't think we get enough of the financial education that is necessary to just make it out here. So the fact that we have you on is definitely going to be able to shed a lot of light on those type of aspects. But I agree with you wholeheartedly how we are not given the information to really make it out here to succeed financially, because the finances are very important to survive and take care of your family.
And not just to survive, but to compete. Because, you know, we have that misconception. We see all these buildings out there, and we renters in those buildings. We don't own most of the buildings. And for some reason, let's just say we think that you save money to buy those buildings. But a lot of these people, they didn't save money to buy those buildings. The way we misunderstand and think that a lot of the assets you see out there, I'm talking about the real assets, the 40 and 50, 100 family buildings, we think that somebody saved money to buy those things. I was speaking to Gene recently when we sat down with some of his financial discussion. And we don't understand that a lot of these buildings, they bought from inheritance, from somebody who died and left $2 million for their son or their daughter. Mm-hmm. And let's get real. We talk all this, but let's get real here. How much of us are in a position to save $1 million or $2 million to buy some of these buildings? Yeah, those are the reasons why I stress the importance. For example, yesterday I had a client from Haiti, mm-hmm. young lady. I did a $500,000 term policy for her. And she did her medical and all those things. And it came back that she could actually get, it was $52. I know I shouldn't be all this specific here, but I need to be.
Yes.
$52 was able to give her $1.2 million in term. Listen to me, guys. $52 would buy you lunch maybe 2 days. Are you kidding me? $52 a month, $1.2 million? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to do that for your family in case something happens? Mm-hmm. It's inexcusable. So that's just an example there to tell you that the assets that we're able to acquire here, it's made easier if we find a way to protect our families and not just think about living today, just about today.
The loophole. Speak about. It's funny because you say that people don't realize, like, a lot of people don't buy these buildings with money, cash. A lot of it is credit.
Credit.
And, you know, you don't have to put any money down. So can you explain how that works as well?
So we have to understand that credit for minorities, it's selective. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, it's discriminatory, where if you're a certain demographic or a certain race, credit for you would be much easier than certain demographic or certain race. Mm-hmm. So we have to begin with that concept, understanding that concept. But in most cases, $2-3 million, $5-10 million, they didn't come up with that money. Mm-hmm. There's an institution that is willing to trust them with putting up that money for them. So typically you will put up, as Gene would know, 5 or 10% in certain conventional loans. You'll put up 20%, and that's how you acquire the building, and somebody trusts you. But if you don't have that, if you don't have that background or that race
track
or
record,
that track record, so we could, that leads us into credit. You're not gonna be in a position to buy these kind of buildings. So we could safely say here, protecting your credit and doing the right thing where credit is concerned, and it's simple. Pay your credit card. Don't spend what you don't have. And understand that a credit card is not your money. It's somebody lending your money. And if you use it, pay it back. Those are just the fundamentals here.
Right.
We have to understand that.
Yeah.
And that goes, it's with alignment. It's, you know, it's integrity.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you know, if someone has bad credit, right, because they're not paying people back, that person typically, if someone comes to you on the individual level, it says, hey, can I borrow money from you? No. You know?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It's just like, you don't pay people back.
Yeah.
So, you know? And, you know, I get that a lot of times. You know, I've seen people who don't make a lot of money, but they, my father used to tell me this, right? He used to say, if you want to get rid of someone out your life, let them borrow some money. Because that's how much it's going to cost to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And he's like, so it might be $25. It might be $2,500. But if the person is, if you want to get rid of the person and you know that that person doesn't pay people back, that's how much it costs for you to get rid of them.
Because it's very unlikely they wouldn't pay you.
Because they're not going to pay you back. Basically. You know?
I know a lot of people out there.
You guys like, been doing. I know a lot of people like that, man. Like, I'm just
you guys
like,
been throwing don't that think word I forgot. And I like that. You guys been using that word integrity a lot. And we should be deeply rooted in integrity. And I see integrity as doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Because it's easy to do the right thing when everybody's looking. But integrity is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. And I recall, and I'm just not necessarily piggybacking, but assimilating some of the discussions you guys had before.
Yes.
In regards to, I remember starting a boys group in Brooklyn High School of the Arts. And the name of that group was The Unit, Uniting the Necessity for Integrity in Teens. And I remember how instrumental it was in terms of we did some fundraisers, we did some toy drive for homeless families. And, you know, there's some pictures right up on Facebook with those things. And I remember the impact it had on some of these young men. And when I heard you speak about the need to inspire, I just thought this was so, I mean, it was so transparent in you and just the ability to be at a stage in your life where you understand inspiring people is worth more than money. Because in the earlier stages of your life, and when we say stages of your life, that doesn't mean age. That has nothing to do with age.
Right.
The earlier stages of your life, you tend to think that money would be that thing that gives you that endorphin, as you said.
Right.
And but after a certain state, and experience is man's greatest teacher. You have to get there to understand that. Nobody can take, you have to get to that point to understand that after you get that money, you ask yourself, then what? I have money and I have everything, but I'm not happy. And you get to that point where you realize our main purpose, our main goal here, until you get there, you will not feel that fulfillment. Our main goal here is to inspire and help others. That's the way I see it personally.
Yes.
And until you're there, you will feel a sense of emptiness in your life.
Absolutely.
So that was, I found that to be really, even in college, it teach you that the how you call it, the hierarchy of where you get to the top, where self-actualization.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's that point where you do things, you know, not just for the material, because you already got, you accomplished those things.
Right.
And you realize you're still not happy. So now it's about, you know, inspiring people and helping others and doing those things.
You feel better giving than taking. You see what I'm saying? Like,
once you get to that point.
Once you get to that point.
But for me, it's just always been, like, I remember, you know, because I used to always watch it, man. Mm-hmm. My mom would always give, man. Just give. Even she would complain that she didn't have anything.
Yeah.
And then somebody would call her like, oh, sister alert, we're hungry. Like, and then all of a sudden, my mom would be like, Gene, I need you to go bring this bag of rice to sister so-and-so. And he's like, but you just said we don't got that. How can we give it our last rice to them? And she's like, you should never not give people food. Like, you should always feed people if they ever hungry. Yeah. He's like, damn, man.
That's true. You know? And then that's now, one thing you don't older, worry about. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think about food. It. Now older, like, you know, I'm always like, you want something? You want something? You know, you hungry? Like, you know, so.
Yeah.
I get it, man. But it's. Like you said, you have to get there first.
Absolutely.
You
know? Absolutely.
It almost feel like the previous discussion you guys had, the previous podcast you had, mm-hmm. was so infiltrating that at this point, we're still on that topic. So let's get into some finance now.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Because you came from, you said teacher, you did all this stuff. How did you get into selling insurance?
Okay.
Like, what was that turning point in your life?
So I'm in Brooklyn High School of the Arts, and we approaching the summer vacation. And I'm sitting at my desk, and one of the fellow teachers, she looked at me, she's like, Alexis, why you look that way? Why? I had just completed my MBA in finance, mm-hmm. and the Department of Education was not giving me an increase in salary or anything like that. But to make a long story short, I did not feel fulfilled at the time. Mm. One of the things that I knew I was going to miss most is working with kids, because, you know, at that point I was working with kids. So she mentioned to me that she wasn't married to the gentleman at the time. Her boyfriend or something was a manager at New York Life, our managing partner. So if I would entertain looking at some opportunities there. I met with him maybe 2 weeks later, and here we are. To date, I've gotten every single, and I heard you spoke about your accomplishment, every single award that New York Life would have had to offer to date. Every single award. And one of my driving force, one of my driving force is that just walking into families and situation where there's lack of information, a lack of financial education, and walking out, for example, even with you, because you will be surprised, there's lawyers, doctors, accountants, like people of influence and people you would swear to God know, should know those things, and just don't.
Yeah.
So when you walk into the situation and you walk out and you leave people with 1.2 and, you know, whatever, and I don't want to speak about specific here, we could get to that after, it's really, really, really rewarding to do that. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for the opportunity to help my people get to that financial independence in their life and for their families.
Mm-hmm. So when in the beginning, when the lady introduced insurance to you, so did you ever think about it? Because you do have an MBA, so it's not like you didn't know about the space. Was that something that you were just?
No, actually, my intention was actually to go to Wall Street after.
To work in
stocks and bonds. Yeah, trader in stocks and bonds. But I realized that it's just a little sub department, a subdivision of the general concept mm-hmm. of finance. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about stocks and bonds and insurance and all these things, because right now, some of my biggest clients, they use life insurance for their retirement. And that must make some of you guys go like, what is he talking about? But that's where the lack of knowledge begins. We see, and you notice I'm saying we, because there's other ethnic groups and other people that understand and understood that for years. Mm. We see life insurance as an instrument that is beneficial only if we die. And that's not the case. So we don't understand how insurance works. So let's get into educating us now.
Yeah.
So there's two fundamentally different insurance. There's whole life, and there's term insurance. You want to ask me some questions, or you just want me to give you the information?
No, so let's break down, what's term?
Term insurance is like renting. It's literally like renting. So you have renting.
Okay.
So it's like renting an apartment. Mm. You rent an apartment, you have the use of the apartment, you pay the landlord the rent, and you do that for 20 years. And you might be doing $1,000. And after that 20 years, you can't say to the landlord that, could I own the living room? Could I own the whole apartment? No, he's going to look at you like, the time you paid me the rent was for the convenience that I gave you. Your family had the security and all those things. You can't cash out from the apartment. You can't sell the apartment. Literally, that's term insurance.
Okay. So basically, for term, the person pays for 20 years. If nothing happens, nothing happens.
Nothing happens. After that period, you would have paid $20,000?
Yeah, it's like car insurance. Right. It's like any type of insurance. Yeah. Right. In case something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have full coverage or liability, you pay your insurance, and
if you didn't have an accident,
nothing happens. You just paid. But if something did happen, you were able to
repair
and fix the problem. So it's precaution. So term insurance is more of a precaution versus cure type of situation.
Right.
Where it's like, just in case if you bought a 20-year term policy, right, like that lady that you just gave an example for $1 million, she's paying $52 a month for 20 years. If something happens within the 20 years, her family's getting $1 million.
Right.
But on the 22nd year, right, if something happens and she canceled it, well, not canceled, if it's the term is over, mm-hmm. and then 21 years or 22 years happen, then she passes away, no insurance. Mm-hmm.
Unless
she gets another one, right?
And that's correct. And that's why it's a little unfortunate sometimes to do this for younger people, because there's certain companies out there, and I'm not going to call any names.
No names.
We're not throwing any names out there, that all they do is term insurance, and they would typically do that for a 25 or 30 year old, which is just disingenuous, because on a 20 year term, what's the likelihood that you would die at 50?
Yeah.
And in some cases, I mean, we're going to throw some numbers out there, 97% of those don't pay out. So there's another scenario where a young person, a young family, that as a recommendation would be relevant and appropriate. A young family, and I run a scenario by you. A young family, two kids, just bought a house, a mortgage of $500,000, and there's a husband and a wife. And basically what happens here is you put some term insurance in place just in case the husband dies, the wife could pay off for the house. Just in case the wife dies, the husband could pay off for the house. And the concept here is you should be doing about 5 to 6 years each other's annual income. Simple. If the husband dies, as I previously said, it means that the wife could survive on what used to be the husband's salary for 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And if the husband dies, vice versa. You get the picture. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole concept of term insurance.
Got it. So now, let's get to the fun one, right?
The fun one, which is whole life.
Yeah.
Which everybody loves. Okay. So whole life is permanent. You buy the house. Mm-hmm. You could take a loan from the house. You could sell the house. The house gains equity over the years. And in today's financial markets, a financial industry, you could literally customize that whole life policy where you decide, I only want to pay into this thing for 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. So while you're paying into it, you have that guaranteed cash growing in your policy, which you have access to for whatever reason, unlike a 401k or a TDA. In those things, if you take money from it, you have to pay taxes, you have to pay
penalties,
and you understand why you don't pay if you take money from a whole life policy, right?
No, explain.
So you pay into your whole life policy after you pay taxes on your check, could we at least establish that, understand that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So seeing that you already paid taxes on your check, it means that if you have to pay again on any withdrawal from that policy, you'll be paying taxes twice on your money. Mm. Are we together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So typically on a whole life policy, if you're withdrawing money from a whole life policy, you pay no taxes on it. So let's go back to customizing a whole life policy. I usually use that for entrepreneurs, business owners. You own a business or whatever, and you don't have an institution planning your retirement for you. You would have to plan it yourself, and you want to plan it with some guarantees. You want to know. I could tell you that, okay, if you do this right now, at 65, you would have that amount of money in your policy. Mm-hmm. If you want $1 million at retirement, if you want $1 million at retirement, it means that you have to put in X amount of money right now. Let's just say, if you invest in a 401k, a TDA, whatever those kind of investment, you cannot make those predictions.
Gotcha.
Why you can't make those predictions? Mm. Because they're all invested in the market. And right before your retirement, right before 65, you could have a collapse of the market. You could have a downward trend in the market. Mm. With whole life, using whole life for your retirement, you could literally have guarantees as to how much money you would have in your retirement.
How does it work when, how soon can somebody pull money from their term? How does that,
from your whole life?
Whole life. Your whole life. Your
because
whole
there's life. No, let's establish here, there's no cash in your term policy.
Right.
You could pull money from your whole life policy anytime you start accumulating money in your whole life policy, which is usually, I just did a whole life policy for a construction company, the owner of a construction company, and we're 3 months down the road, and he already has cash in his policy to pull out. And the cash you have in your policy is determined by the age you did it, the amount of money you put it into your policy, and you can't see that as a payment. When you're doing a whole life policy, it's different to a term. A term, you could see a term as a payment. If you're doing a whole life policy, you need to see it as a contribution towards either your retirement or whatever you're working towards. Mm. So to answer your question, you could pull money out of your policy anytime you start accumulating money in your policy, which is, we're talking months after.
Okay. Understood.
That's cool.
The other thing I need to establish with us here is that you're allowed to pull out 90% of your cash value. If you pull out more than that, you would be kind of collapsing the policy. But here's a concept. You stay with a policy for 18 years, 19 years, whatever. You end up with $200,000, $300,000, whatever in the policy. You pull out 90% of the policy. So you're left 10%. That 10%, and I wish I had the actual concept to show you guys. That 10% that you're left in your policy gives you the ability to keep it. Because remember, that whole life policy has cash and it has a debt benefit. Mm. When you pull out the 90%, the 10% give you the ability to keep your debt benefit in place even if you pull out your cash.
It's amazing.
You know, when I share this information, it's so deep in my heart that you would find me sometime bubbling over in my words, because it's so much of us don't understand it. And it's given the opportunity here to share it with, you know, whoever's listening, I thank God for that opportunity.
It's amazing.
Now, how long you've been in this business?
I've been in this business 6.5.
6.5 years. Mm-hmm. So in the 6.5 years, have you ever actually had to
pay a debt benefit?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I have to give it to you. It's funny that you asked that question. So the first debt benefit I paid was through this company that I do their benefits for all the employees. I remember sitting with that employee. He got dreads. Like yesterday, he was actually 37 when we did the policy. He died at 39.
Wow.
And he died in a motorcycle accident.
Hmm. Wow.
He, seeing that he did his policy through the job, he did, a $67,000 policy? So, and he left as his beneficiary his 19-year-old son. So I had to walk into his 19-year-old son and his mother with $67,000 and handed it to him in the form of a check. Guys, I have to be honest with you. As a people, we're not the most financially educated people, as we all know. So I don't have to say anymore. We'll put $67,000 in a...
He blew it. That's what you trying to say.
Exactly.
Like, Brianna's so, like, what?
Yep. He pretty much blew it. He bought a car, you know, and all this other stuff.
It's like the lottery winners, man.
Yeah,
like,
you know, if you don't know what you're doing.
If you don't know what you're doing, yeah. You know, people think the concept of money, right? People think if I had money, I would make, if I had, you know, when we were kids, if you had $1 million, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What would you get? And I remember always saying for myself, if I had the cash, I would always, first thing is always pay off my mom's house.
Yeah. Whoa.
That was the first thing. The second thing for me was to always buy more property, yeah. Right? Because property, people will always have to pay you rent,
right?
Yeah. And I was like, as long as someone owes you money, that's why there's a lot of people out there, and I know you're out there, and you know who you are, you owe me money, right?
Me too.
As long
I
as
ain't
people,
forget.
Yeah, you owe Kobe money, you owe Brian money, we
pay
know
up,
who you are.
Pay up, like seriously,
but
pay
look,
up.
But look, we don't need them to pay money
that's
right
fine.
Now.
Keep it.
Just keep it, because
you,
one
no,
day.
No, you need to pay
me. You need to pay me.
It's not that much. If it takes for us to come on the show to speak about that, it couldn't be that much, because I would have contacted you. I would, you know, so. So you could keep that money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always there, man. So, you know, as long as people owe you money, man, you can't go broke. Yeah. You know? So, but yeah, man. So anyway, as long as people pay rent, you'll always have some income coming in, you know?
Exactly.
So my thing is purchasing property. You know, we had a guy come on the show, and he got into a car accident. He had a lawsuit. He made all this money, and his mom, he spent all the money. Like cars, he invested into a restaurant, and then all of a sudden, but his mom with the last $10,000, he had $10,000 left out of like 150 or 200,000, right?
Mm.
Out of the last $10,000 or $20,000, his mom took the money and said, "Look, we're buying a house in Clinton Hill." And so they bought the house, and that house turned into $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know
smart.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what real estate does.
That's what real estate does.
Smart investment.
But
yep.
That's what we got to tell these people. So you didn't know, because as far as like, you can't tell someone what they need to do with their money.
I could advise you, but I can't.
You could advise, but you can't, legally you can't do that.
You know,
right?
You know, I actually did an investment for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's something called, it was... All right, so I just spoke about a custom whole life. I did a custom whole life for him, but I did it with a premium paying account. It's I can't call companies here, but my company allow you to deposit money in an account. Stay with me here. They give you 4%, 3.7 to 4% on that account, and that account funds the custom whole life on a monthly basis. So I did that for him. But he called me 3 weeks later and asked to maybe close that account because he needs the money. Hmm. So that was... that
so you tried to help him?
I tried to help him, but I didn't...
But it was itching him. It was itching him.
He had to spend the money. He had to spend
like,
the money.
Man,
you know.
I want that. I want that 300 Chrysler with the beds. with the ribs.
And guys, I hope you're not thinking of this guy as the... how you should say it? He's kind of the norm out there in terms of our culture, because we can't single him out. Most of us, that's the way we act. And he's not a bad guy. It's just lack of information, lack of financial education. And if we want to compete, and if we want to come, and I know we want to compete as a people, we have to think different and we have to educate our people.
That's true.
Look,
it begins with our kids.
It begins with the kids. I remember, look, when I was 19 years old, just getting a little bit of money, like, I made believe I had no money. My parents didn't know anything. And I was spending, all I was coming home, one day you saw me with a Rolex, next thing you know, you saw a convertible Benz in the driveway. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have no money.
But
I had a mentor.
Yeah.
I had a mentor, and he was like, look, thank God for him, Rob Flower. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you're going to buy a house.
Wow.
And then I bought one, you know? And then so, but from there, it went on and on. But in the beginning, if I didn't have anything, all it was floss. It was flossy season.
Yeah. Outward
stuff. I just wanted everyone else to know how much money I was making. And then because I didn't think it was ever gonna go away.
Yeah,
because I was like, I thought it was gonna be forever. And everybody thinks that. Because once you start making money using your mind, you're like, I have control.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I could do this again. I could continue to do it. Oh, you know what? Next month, I'm going to beat my numbers from last month.
Yeah.
And then you do it. So you're like, this is never going
to
go away.
I don't need to save.
I don't need to save.
I'll make that again next
month. Because I can make it again.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with young people. That's what happens with people where they don't have the financial education. And I'm only being transparent like this because I went through this phase.
Right.
So when people, and I grew from it. But when people... Because that gene at 18, 19 years old is not the gene at 38.
Right.
Right? No way. You know what I'm saying?
Can't
we would
be.
I can't be. I have a family. I have a wife. I have responsibilities. You know, it's funny because someone said to me, one of the kids at a career day, they said, how much money do you make? I said, I don't know. But I can tell you, we pay about $150,000 a year in mortgages. So they're like, what? So now, the concept of money, you know, you have to have responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You have to be able to understand what those numbers mean.
Yeah.
And so to protect your family, you have to deal with a guy like Brian. Because if something, God forbid, happened to me and my wife, how's Anu going to be taken care of?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, or even if something happened to me and my wife.
Right.
We need to make sure that something's in place for, say, my sister, who's probably going to be able to take care of my kid.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure she's good.
Yeah.
So and get away from the beneficiaries.
That way.
So you have to make sure that, because some people think when you pass, it's just,
Let's do some crowdfunding here. Let's do some.
GoFundMe.
And
no.
It's embarrassing. 70 years in this world. Are you serious? 80 years in this world. And you still can't even leave something for you.
Yeah.
Forget burying yourself. You can't even. Come on. We got to do better.
I have friends and even my father-in-law and all these people, or some of these people, they already paid for their funeral.
Yes, well, it should be. It should not be a financial stress. It should be just mourning and celebrating your life. It shouldn't be something where I'm sitting there trying to put money together to pay for
it. And you're sitting in a morgue. Yeah, exactly. Like, no.
Right.
Like, prepare now. This is the whole precaution versus cure.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about kids, right?
Yeah.
And we talk about precaution versus cure with kids. Look, adults, I'm talking to you now. Like, precaution versus cure. You're going to die one day.
Preventative measures.
Prevent your family leaving you in a box in a cold refrigerator and storing. No, seriously.
It's true.
Like, save.
Yeah.
Stop buying the red bottom sneakers and red bottom shoes and heels.
You don't need.
Stop going on these trips you can't afford. Start investing in an insurance policy for $20, $30, $40, $50. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't sell insurance.
Right.
I'm just telling you.
And
this.
You don't have to do business with me.
And you don't have to do business
with somebody. Yeah. Like, somebody.
You know, do some doesn't business have to with be someone. Me. Protect your family. Like, everyone's talking about family over everything.
Yeah.
Family over everything. Right? If it's for real, if you're for real about this,
right? Action
you need
show.
To go speak to someone. Everyone wants to buy real estate, but then guess what happens? They don't have an investment. They don't know. They never educate their families on any type of anything.
Yeah.
They pass all the property that these people have gone. Because it's gone. Mm-hmm. Because it goes to probate court, because this person wasn't transparent. Right. This person didn't put your name on anything.
Right.
So now all the kids are fighting over the properties because you didn't tell who you wanted to have what. So now they have to go to court. They have to go through all these things. So put the paperwork. Get a lawyer. Get an estate lawyer, attorney, and get your paperwork together. You know what I'm saying? Right. And, you know, this podcast is about the mindset, but for real, wake up.
let's wake up, man. Let's stop faking here.
And stop
faking
it, man.
Let's be real.
Because when you pass on,
that's 100% right.
It's 100% right, bro. Yeah. Like when you pass on, that's when everything comes out. Like, oh man, now that I'm happened. In court for 2 years trying to get this.
Yeah.
The state took the house.
Yeah.
Like you don't get it. The government gets it.
Yeah.
Because this person didn't have a will.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Is that something that they do? Do they do wills?
You do estate planning?
Yeah, we do estate planning. We have a whole department for estate planning. But
I get passionate about this, man.
I know I do. I do too, and I have to control myself. And a while ago, I said, let's be real and let's be honest with ourselves, because I know it's not just young people. There's a lot of mature people looking at this podcast out there. And let's be real with ourselves. It's a conscious decision we're going to have to make. It's not something that's going to come instinctively to go there and financially secure in form of life insurance or whatever investment for families. Understand, if your parents didn't do it, you're not going to see the importance of it. So we kind of need to break the domino effect and do what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the culture. I don't know if that's what pertains to you guys. And it's the same. Why am I saying I don't?
Right.
We have the tendency where my parents' concept was, I worked hard for my stuff. And I'm not going to give you anything easy because you're not going to know how to handle it. So you're going to have to work hard for your stuff too. We need to change that.
Yeah.
The concept with our counterparts is, we worked hard, and because we work so hard and we accumulate, you as a kid would not have to work this hard.
Mm.
We're not going to be able to compete if we have that tendency when our counterparts has something different.
Mm-hmm.
We as minorities, we're starting with $100,000 in student loan. We're starting in debt. We're starting with the obligation to bury our parents.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting with $1 million.
Mm.
$500,000, we see the president right now.
Yeah.
We have to change it, and we have to make a conscious decision to change it. It's not going to happen instinctively. We didn't get that from our culture. Our culture taught us whatever they had was theirs. Whatever we have is ours. And
it's
that's
like
how it goes.
Starting over.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's it. That's it. You can't build a legacy that way. It's like starting. It's like, why would I build my family up to get to this point just to have them start from the bottom again? If I see myself as you, I want to make sure that I put the work in so that you can just build on top of what I have, so you can be greater than I am. And I believe that is one of those generational, you know, curses or things that we have to break the cycle. And it really starts with putting it out into light. The reality is we can't see people as separate. You look at the Asians, you look at other minorities, they bring their family over, they'll be all in the same house. You know, they'll build up a family, have them set up the family, then they'll bring everybody else over. We have to work in unity, and that is something that we are lacking. So that goes hand in hand with educating, but also getting people to understand how it is important to heal and grow themselves. And that's an emotional thing. And if you can't control your emotions, you can't control your money.
No.
And that's the thing. When you throw $67,000 in the kid's hands, his emotions are high. So it's like, I don't know what to do with him. And because he wasn't trained the right way.
Because
we all could relate. I remember blowing that type of check and just out of just $15,000 just quick on jewelry and stuff like that. Yep. And I was like, it didn't make any sense. If I knew what I could have did with that.
Oh, yeah.
At that point.
Let me tell you something. And I'm going to be 3,000% right now. One of my friends, Pete, right? Mm-hmm. He's a multimillionaire. Liquid.
Yeah.
Right? Now he is. We went to Hofstra University. I was making money.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, we were all for the now.
Yeah.
This guy, Pete, came to me and was like, yo, Gene, there's a company. It's $16 a share. You should buy 1,000 shares. You have $16,000. You just told me you had 20.
Yeah.
So buy $16,000 worth of this stock. I guarantee you probably, you know, maybe when you're 50, 60 years old, yeah, it'll be, you know, it's going to be a great retirement. I'm trust. You should do it. I just bought 1,000 shares. A lot of my family members bought into this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, man, it's an online bookstore. Mm. No one's going to, that's no way. I'm going to go buy this Benz, yeah, right?
I know what you're talking about now.
2000 and what year are we in? 2020.
20.
I did in one of the courses I teach is talk about stock. I showed them the price of Amazon. Now, as of today, all right? Today, let's look at this. So, Amazon today,
if you did invest,
Is $2,182.24
per stock,
yeah, per share,
yeah, per stock,
yeah.
Okay.
So you know what
so
that means.
So what would you have? What would you be worth right now if you did follow?
Millions, bro. Yeah,
we could do the math. Let's
millions.
Do the math.
Really easy.
What would you be worth?
Easy like this: 82 times 1,000 shares, right? 82 times 1,000. Wait, what am I doing? 2.128 million dollars.
Out of $16,000.
$16,000. So I would have had about $2.2 million right now.
If you did invest.
If I invest $16,000. Right? So and this is real.
That's it. That's the reality of it. That's the reality.
Right?
Yeah.
And so no one would know Amazon would be Amazon. But I remember the story because my man Pete is chilling in Arizona right now. And when you talk about liquid and you talk about financial freedom and you talk about understanding education, this kid's parents were very wealthy.
And they knew about it. Yeah.
And he tried to put me on.
And he learned from them.
Yeah. He learned from them, and he was trying to put me on because he said, look, you know what? Each one, teach one.
Yeah.
You know? And so he was trying to teach me because he saw, this kid is different.
Yeah.
Let me help him.
Yeah.
He tried to help me, and ego was steering the ship.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I know more than you and your family and your rich, rich people. Like, no.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, no problem. All right, bye. Have fun with your Mercedes. That 1 year later got hit by a drunk driver. You know what I'm saying? And it became from $20,000 to $2,000.
Depreciation asset.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But so this is what I'm saying. The thing is, it's education, understanding, telling these stories so that other people can learn from it and understand it. People go invest in restaurants that they know nothing about and they lose their money.
Right.
People go into different things that they know nothing about. Right. But it's important to educate yourself. Talk to a Brian. Talk to Kobe. Yeah. Talk to Gene. Right?
Yeah.
Because you could take that money, that $67,000, and we're just using that number. So that $60,000, that's 10% of a house. You say take 30 of it and you buy a house somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? And now you buy a multifamily in Jersey, and then now you're collecting rental income.
Right.
And then from there you know it's all about the growth and
cash flow, right? And everything.
But if you're not doing that,
it
doesn't work. It doesn't work.
And there's something about rental income. I know that that's not where we at though, but it's one of the sweetest income, man. It's that income that comes every 30 to 31 days.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. I mean,
you don't
now
do anything,
Venmo,
man.
Cash
it's,
app.
It's, yeah, it's, you
it's,
good.
It's just, it's you truly know, it's amazing.
Consistent money coming
but
in.
Brian, I have to ask you one question. Out of faith, grind, inspire, which word resonates with you?
You know, I have to be honest with you. Right at this point in my life, mm-hmm. faith is the one that resonates with me. And it's why it's just that transformation I've felt when I've not just exhibit but demonstrate faith and belief in whoever you see him to be, you know. But it's that faith that I move with every day, knowing that he goes before me. And even if this is really, really crazy right now, it's a ditch right now, it's traumatic right now, I'm confident that with faith in him, everything would be all right. Everything's gonna be great. And I just wish, when I do feel that sense of peace, I should say, I truly wish that other people knew that. Because as we started, I said, one of our biggest problems is trying to handle life challenges on our own. That's where the problem begins, when we see it as our problem. I don't see it as my problem. I'm experiencing it, but that's God's problem. God is going to take care of this. That's deeply rooted in my heart. God is going to take care of this. And it doesn't have to go the way we want it to go. In most cases, it don't.
Right.
Because you see that thing we want, he know we're not ready for it. But if you just trust, time would come. It would all be unfold the way it just the way, not necessarily the way you want it, but unfold to that bigger purpose.
Right.
And my it's all built into my inspiration is all built into faith right now. Just being having that faith that everything is gonna be all right. Don't matter what's going on right now, but everything would be all right.
I love it.
Any final words, Kobe?
No, man. Thank you so much. Thank you for your words. It's so important that we understand about legacy. You know, you did bring up certain things about the past part, about the spiritual aspect, but the financial aspect, the material, is important to take care of your family. So you did shed a lot of light on those type of topics. So we appreciate you and your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And thank you for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I remember while I was coming here, even last night, I'm like, what? I wonder what this would be about. And it's kind of my mantra when I go to head into clients. I remember when I sat with you and I told you, if you're doing this for me, don't do it. But I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to plan. I was like, God, put the words in my mouth. Go before me. Anything that is not going to be beneficial to a listener, don't let it be said. And for me, it's God's work, and everybody may not agree with me, and that's fine too.
Yeah,
that's fine, but it's God's work, I could just leave this right. It's God's work.
Where and that's a perfect place to leave, right? where can people find you?
Well, you could have my telephone number, my email address, 718-704-8413. That's my cell phone number. And my email address is balexis, B-A-L-E-X-I-S, @ft.newyorklife.com.
All right. Cool, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, hope you found a lot of value into this week's episode. And take action. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole year we've been talking about taking action and just doing the right thing by yourself and your family. So this is another example of us doing this, right? So thank you so much. Thank you to our producers, Brian. Thank you, Brian, for coming on. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Brianna. Thank you, co-host.
Yes, right? Yes.
Kobe, what's going on, man? So anyway, God bless. Faith, Grind, Inspire. Every Wednesday, tell a friend to tell a friend. Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, just keep sharing with your friends. God bless. Peace.